Two. Testing. You know when you you meet someone famous or someone well known, and you claim that you therefore they're your friend. Like, oh yeah, I know Patrick Swayze. I don't know what made me think of Patrick Swayze just then, but I've got a friend, and his name is Arulathanathanam Suresh Jehoiachin. Okay, he's not my friend. I've seen him. That's all. And he's a little bit famous. He's actually in the Guinness Book of Records. And I told you, was it yesterday, maybe the day before, that I used to work in a sports shop. For a while, I worked at a sports shop in Hornsby. Have you been to Hornsby Westfield? Do you know that big clock that's in the middle, that weird water clock thing? There was this guy who walked around it carrying bricks for 24 hours. Okay, if you want to talk about crazy, zany walks for 24 hours holding bricks, I think that's pretty crazy. That's crazier than this. How stupid. Why would you want to walk around a clock for 24 hours carrying two bricks? I think it's pretty crazy. But not only did he do that, because I saw that in 1999 in the 2002 Guinness Book of World Records, which I forgot to bring, I was going to show you. It's actually got him. He's got the world record. That day he was setting a world record for person carrying the... You can make up a world record for anything, but the person carrying the bricks around a water fountain for the longest period of time or something like that. Pretty zany. Pretty crazy. But I found he's in there a whole bunch of times. One of the other times was at Burwood, which is in Sydney, in the shopping centre there. He's got the world record for the longest travelling on an escalator. He didn't have to walk then. He just kept going up and down. I don't know how long it was because I forgot to bring the book. But that's pretty crazy. That's pretty zany. That's pretty wacky. Today, we're going to be talking about walking. Page number 6 is where your outline is. If you need a pen, hopefully you've got one. Otherwise, Jono might get one to you. Very quietly. But we're going to be talking about walking, because I actually think that the book of Ephesians, believe it or not, I think is about walking. I think there's some on the piano there, Jono. Well done, Jono. The whole book of Ephesians is about walking. So the question is, how do we walk? How does the Christian walk? What do they do? To kick us off in thinking about how the Christian walks, I want you to go back to yesterday's passage. Yesterday's passage, Ephesians chapter 2. Quickly turn there. Don't worry about the pens flying across the air. Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 10. I purposely didn't really talk about this much yesterday. Yesterday I wanted you to feel the weight of how dead you are without Jesus, and I wanted you to feel the weight of how great it is that because of Jesus, you can be made alive. So I hope you understood that yesterday. If you've still got questions, make sure you ask them. But I purposely didn't talk about verse 10. Have a look at verse 10. It says, "For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works which God prepared in advance for us to do." Now, the verses before it, verse 8 and 9, have a look in there. Verse 8 and 9, they're very famous verses. Verse 8 and 9 talk about how we're not saved by what we do, but we're saved by grace. We're saved by faith in Jesus. Nothing that we do, but what God has done. It's an often quoted verse, and it's a great verse to be reminded of, verse 8 and 9. But my problem with verse 8 and 9 is, what do I do? Like, it sounds pretty easy, doesn't it? Oh, Jesus has done it all. It doesn't matter how I live. I can do whatever I want. I can go and eat and drink and be merry. I can go and rob banks every day if I want to do that. I can go and kill people every day. Yeah, it's lots of fun going and kill people because it doesn't matter. Because I'm saved by grace. I can do what I want. We often forget verse number 10. Verse 10 says that no, we can't do what we want. We're no longer to walk the old way. Verse 1 to 3 of chapter 2 spoke about how you used to walk as a dead man walking. We're now to walk in a different way. We're now to walk as alive men. Or people. We're now to be alive people walking. That's how we're to walk. And that's what we're going to think about today as we look at chapter 4. So turn back to chapter 4. Turn to chapter 4. We're going to think about how it is that we're to walk. But before we go there, I want to show you a diagram. I learnt this diagram about 6-7 years ago, and it was one of the best things for me in understanding how it is that I'm to live as a Christian. You might have seen this before because I've done it lots of times in the small groups. Here's two statements. The first statement is, good works, so doing good stuff, it leads to salvation. That is, heaven. Okay? Statement number one. Statement number two. Salvation leads to good works. Now, the first one, is that right? The first one's clearly not right. Ephesians 2:8-9 says, Fat chance. There's no way you're going to get to God by doing good stuff. You can't. The Bible makes that clear. Doing good stuff, trying to do your best, and trying to get to heaven, you're only going to end up in hell. That's what the Bible says. The emphasis the Bible has is not that doing good stuff gets you to heaven, but knowing that you're in heaven, knowing that because Jesus died on the cross and he rose again and you've put your trust in him, knowing that, the expectation of the Bible is that you'll therefore do good works, live differently, live a changed life, walk no longer how you used to walk, but walk the new life that the Christian is supposed to walk. Ephesians chapter 1 to chapter 3, broadly speaking, is some big, fat, chunky stuff about God, how good he is, and what he's done for us in Christ Jesus. Okay? So we've worked very hard the last 2 days. Today and tomorrow we're going to get very practical, very what's it mean for us? Because chapter 4 to chapter 6 is really the therefore, how should I live? I've been saved by grace, how should I live? How should I now walk? And so that's what we're going to be looking at. So I'm going to pick up 4 things very quickly about how we're to live and how we're to walk as Christians. So the first one is we're to live and to walk different to the world. We're to live and to walk different from the world. Have a look at verse number 17. Verse number 17 says, "So I tell you this and insist on it in the Lord that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do, in the futility of their thinking." Just quickly, what's a Gentile? We looked at that yesterday. What's a Gentile? Hand up. Yep. Someone who's not a Jew. So we worked out in probably most groups that most of us aren't Jews. Some of us might have a little bit of Jewishness in us, but generally most of us are Gentiles. So it's in a sense, when you become a Christian, you're still a Gentile, but the Bible says what matters is that not that you're a Gentile or a Jew. It doesn't even really matter if you're a guy or a girl. It doesn't matter if you're a slave or a free person. What matters is that you're a Christian and that you are united in Christ. So when it says Gentiles in chapter 4, verse 17, I think it's really talking about their old life, the way the rest of the world is living. And so what does he say? Be different from the rest of the world. Be different from them. Don't live like that anymore. That's not how the Christians to live. This is how they once lived, before they were Christian, but no longer. Look at verse 20. "You, however, did not come to know Christ that way." Verse 21. "Surely you heard of him and were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught, with regard to your former way of life, to put off your old self, which has been corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness." The way that the Christian is supposed to live is different to how they once lived. And it's different from how the rest of the world still lives. Now, I used to play soccer. Some of you may know that. I often talk about soccer in illustrations because I've got lots of stories about it. But when I played soccer, I was a goalkeeper. And I used to love training in the middle of winter when it was wet. It would be freezing cold. I'd have like a tracksuit on. I'd have my gloves on, do all the training, do all the running, all the diving. And by the end of training, I reckon I weighed 5 to 10 kilos heavier than I did before it. I'd have just mud all over me. Like, it would be on my face. I wouldn't even bother trying to wipe it off. That's how much I had on me. It was everywhere. I was heavy, very, very heavy. But you know what I liked best about training on those nights? The best thing was the shower afterwards. Oh, fantastic hot shower. I'd strip off the old ones and chuck them in the shower on the ground because I'd wash those out. I'd take off my clothes and I would wash off the dirty stuff and I'd put on some nice, clean, warm clothes. Off with the old, on with the new. That's the picture you get here. You get it in a number of places in the Bible that we're to strip off the old, dodgy, dodgy life. We're to strip off the old way that we walked and lived, and we're to put on the new clean clothes. From verse 25 to verse 32, there's a whole bunch of contrast there on what it will actually look like. It basically tells you, here's what the old clothes were, here's what the new clothes are. Here's what to take off, here's what to put on. Look at verse number 25. "Therefore each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to his neighbour, for we are all members of the one body." What's the negative? Someone call it out. Pop your hand up. What's the negative? Have a look. Verse 25. What's the negative thing to take off? Falsehood. Put off falsehood. There it is. There's the negative. What's the positive? Speak truthfully to your neighbour. Take off the old, on with the new. Verse 28. Have a look at verse 28. We're not going to pick them all up, but here's verse 28. He who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with his own hands, that he may have something to share with those in need. What's the negative? What do you take off? Take off the stealing. What do you put on? You put on doing something useful with your hands, so you can contribute to others rather than taking from others. This isn't a problem for any of you, is it? You know, it's... You don't rob banks. Do, maybe some of you do, by the looks of the way you fight out there on the Oval this morning. But do you know that ripping someone else's CD and putting it on your MP3 player is just as much stealing as walking into a CD shop and taking the CD from the store? It's stealing. If you're a Christian, the Bible says stop stealing and start doing something useful with your hands. Okay? It's not just walking into a CD shop that's considered stealing. Stealing is when you copy it off someone else's CDs. Don't do it. If you're Christian, don't live the old life. Yeah, my friends at school are doing it. They're sharing all their CDs and they've chocked up their iPods with each other's songs. No, it's wrong. Don't live like them. You've got to be different. You just say, no, I'm not going to copy your CD. You just say, no, you're not going to borrow my CD because you're not going to copy my CD. Be different from the world. Let's keep going. Verse 29. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. What's the negative? Jackson? Oh, stretching, what was it up here? Yep. Unwholesome talk. There's the negative. Get rid of it. Get the filth out of your mouth, the unwholesome talk. It's not just swear words. It's not just picking up swear words here. It's picking up far more than that. But let's quickly, I'll talk about that in a moment. What's the positive thing that you'd put on? Yep. Bradley? Build others up according to their needs. How good is that? Building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. What is it that comes out of your mouth? Again, I'm not talking about swear words. It's talked about in chapter 5, the swear words, the filthy language. I'm not just talking about naughty words. I'm talking about your whole manner. That's what I think's going on here. The words where we cut each other down. The words where we make fun of each other, either to the face or behind their back. Is that what your words are like? Or are your words used to build each other up? To encourage each other? To say, good on you. It's great to see you growing as a Christian. I've had a great time hanging out with you on FAT. I love it when we pray together. You're a really encouraging person. What are the words that come out of your mouth? Are they ones where we knock each other down? Or the ones where we build each other up? Australians, we love to knock each other down. But where's our allegiance? It's not to Australia. It's to God. And it's to live in His way. When your friend's at school, when the TV, when everything around you is saying, live like this, speak like this, doesn't matter if you cut each other down because it's just Australian, be different. Build each other up. And people will actually see that you're a Christian and see that you are different. I want our youth group to be a place where we don't pay each other out. Now, guys, I know that's going to be a big call because it's fun sometimes to pay each other out. But is that the Christian way? Ought it be fun? That's not God's way. That's the world's way. I want our youth group to be a place where gossip doesn't exist. Girls, that's a big call. But don't read the trashy gossip dolly magazines and all those garbage, rubbish things, because then you'll just start speaking like them. We want youth group to be a place where we live God's way, not the world's way. There's more in there, but we're not going to talk about it. But the point is, get rid of the old stuff, take off the old self, and put on the new self. Off with the old, on with the new. So the first thing, and the longest thing, about the way we're to walk, is that we're to walk and live differently to the rest of the world. So be encouraged to do that at school. That might be a really good place to do that. Be different. Secondly, live and walk in love. Live and walk in love. That's my love voice. Look at chapter 5, verse 1 and verse 2. Chapter 5, verse 1 and verse 2. It says, be imitators of God. Therefore, as dearly loved children, check this, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Just see what's going on there. God wants us to be like him. He wants us to imitate him. He wants us to be like him and live a life of love. What will the life of love look like? Well, very quickly, look at verse 3 to 5. It says, "But among you there must not even be a hint of sexual immorality, of any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. For of this you can be sure, no immoral, impure, or greedy person, such a man is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God." Have you seen those WWJD bracelets? Hand up if you know what WWJD stands for. Sam, what is it? What would Jesus do? Do you realise they're actually one of the most, so I've heard, one of the most stolen things from the Christian bookshops. I don't know if that's true, but it's interesting because I'm sure Jesus wouldn't be stealing what would Jesus do bracelets. But there's something really good about that question. There's something fantastic about the question, what would Jesus do? We're told time after time to look at Jesus, to look at God and live like him. What did Jesus do? He lived a life of love. What did Jesus do? How did he show his life of love? As it says there in verse 2, he gave up himself as an offering. If you're Christian, you are called to not live for yourself. You are called not to live a life of hate. You're called to live a life of love. And that might mean for you that you may lay down your life for the sake of others. Maybe not physically, but give up your life and give it to being a Christian and serving other people. It may mean you don't get that super duper job that you're always dreaming of. You might actually just be a garbage man so that you've got time in the rest of the day to meet with other Christians. The point is, live a life like Jesus. We are to share the family likeness with Jesus. Now, have you heard it said, he certainly has his father's nose? Have you heard that said before? You know, when you look at the kid, oh, he certainly has his father's nose. I used to think that it was like literally, like the son literally had the father's nose. So like, here's the son walking around with this big snoz on his face, and the father's walking around with this gap in the middle of his face where his nose used to be. And he's like, well, where's my nose? Where's my... Oh, my son's got it. It's not like that. I remember when I first met Rhett and Karina, when they first came to our church, I used to get Rhett and Josiah mixed up. I'd sometimes go, hey, Josiah, oh, wait, it's Rhett. They look the same. You can tell that he's the father. You can tell that he's the son. You can tell there's a family likeness because they look the same. We're to have a family likeness. We're to look like our Father in heaven. We're to look like our brother, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we're to look like. So live and walk in love. Number three, very quickly. Live and walk as children of the light. Live and walk as children of the light. Look at chapter 5, verse 8. Chapter 5, verse 8. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light. For the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them, for it's shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible. Live as children of the light. Now, Big Brother, don't lie. Have you seen the show Big Brother? Jackson's got his hand up very high there. He votes every week, even when it's not on. He keeps sending messages. A few people have seen Big Brother. Before I'd heard of it, I'd actually often wondered what it would be like to actually see my life videoed and played on a screen for people. Before I'd even heard of this whole concept of Big Brother, imagine that. A little bit scary. We're sitting here at FAT, watching the life of Josh. It'd be a bit scary. When you watch Big Brother, most of them come off looking like idiots. You see the things they're doing. It's clear that they're not Christian. It's clear that they're not concerned to live God's way. They're living it up the world's way. We are to be those who live as children of the life, of the light. Therefore, we ought not to be ashamed if we actually had a video of our life played here. I can see you thinking, oh, But what about yesterday? Or maybe even shown to your parents and your parents' friends. Do you know what Big Brother does? It catches everything that's in view of a camera. And that's it. Okay, if there's no camera, it's not going to catch it. I like to think of God as biggest father. He doesn't need a camera. He sees everything. He sees everything you do. He sees everything you say. He sees everything you think. God is watching you, and God wants you not to be like the world, but he wants you to be different. He wants you to live as a child of the light. Look at verse 10. It says, find out what pleases the Lord. I was reflecting on that last night. It's a great verse. Find out what pleases the Lord. Paul prayed in chapter 1, remember from the first day, that they would know God better. So as you get to know God better, you'll find out what pleases him. Now, I've been married for almost 2 years. Rose not here at the moment. Fantastic. I've been married for almost 2 years. And each day, I get to know Ro better. Believe it or not, I know her better today than I did 2 weeks ago. As I keep getting to know her, I get to know her better. I know that she likes me to make the bed. So I try to do it. I try to make the bed because I know that that pleases her. I know that she likes me to do the dishes without her asking. So I do my best to try to do that. I know that she wants me to spend time with her when she gets home from work. So I try to do that. Unfortunately, I don't always do things the way I ought. But as I get to know Ro better, I know what pleases her, and I seek to do those things. It would be foolish of me to know what pleases her and then just to do the opposite. Wouldn't it? Wouldn't that be stupid? Just like it would be stupid of you, it would be foolish of you, if you claim to have a relationship with God, to not find out what pleases him and to actually do it. So live and walk as children of the light. Don't be ashamed. Fourthly and finally, live and walk not as unwise, but as wise. Live and walk not as unwise, but as wise. Look at chapter 5, verse 15. It says, be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise. Now, there's some great verses in verse 15 to 21 there. We're not going to talk about them too much right now. By all means, have a read over these things in your own time. But I want to quickly draw you to verse number 18. Verse number 18. Follow it with your finger. Make sure you can see it. We're almost at the end. It says, do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Now, what's going on is God doesn't want us to walk around like drunks, okay? God doesn't want us to walk around in the way the world walks around. Not necessarily just drinking wine. God doesn't want us to be influenced by other things. God doesn't want us to walk around being influenced by the music we listen to, the movies that we watch, the TV that we watch. He wants us to walk around being influenced by him and his Spirit. He wants us to be led by the Spirit, be filled with the Spirit. Not to be under the influence of anything else, wine, TV, friends, any of those things. The things that are to influence you are the things of God. So hopefully your Christian friends might influence you for the good. There it is. There's four ways that that we can live and walk as people who are different. Live and walk as those who are saved by what Jesus has done, but we're now to live different lives. A few hundred years ago, there was a man by the name of John Newton, and he had a roaring trade in slavery. So basically, he shipped them out from Africa, and in Europe and England and so forth, he had a slave trade. He sold off people to be slaves. Something changed for John Newton. John Newton heard the good news of Jesus. He heard that Jesus had died and risen. John Newton, do you know what happened? He became a Christian. Fantastic. And do you know what happened after that? Do you think he kept going on in the slave trade? No, of course he didn't keep going on the slave trade. He got out of the slave trade. He started doing something useful with his hands. And he actually helped to put an end to that very slave trade that he was a part of. He was radically changed when he became a Christian. He no longer lived the old way, but he lived the new way. Now, very quickly, I'm about to pray, we're about to close, have some morning tea in a moment. As we say all these things of do this, don't do that, do this, don't do that, do this, don't do that, can I just remind you again, that's not what saves you. That's not what makes you a Christian. That's not what gets you right with God. Just like a prisoner, if he just takes off his prison uniform, is he just all of a sudden free? Well, no, he's not free. First he has to be released from jail, and then he's free. So for the Christian, it's not that we start taking off the old self, putting on the new self that makes us Christian. It's the fact that Jesus has set us free. It's the fact that Jesus has died for us, that we can be made free. It's not the other way around. Remember the diagram from the start? It's not good works that lead to salvation. It's knowing we're saved that will lead to us living differently. If you're not living this way, as Jackson said earlier on, maybe it might mean that you're not a Christian. Maybe you might need to check out what Jesus has done and see what the Bible says about how it should change your life. I pray that all of us would all now live not the old life, but the new life. Now, very quickly, it's important to say, if you struggle living God's way, that's good. If you think you've made it, you haven't made it. You've got it. The Christian life will be a struggle. It's a struggle to keep fighting against the rest of the world. It's like a salmon. They swim the wrong way upstream. It's like the city to surf, running the opposite direction. The world's coming this way and we're running into it. It's going to be hard. It's going to be a struggle. So be encouraged to get into that struggle. Be encouraged to be different. Because in the end, living God's way doesn't save you. Jesus is the one who saves you, and he saves you to live a different life. So live and walk God's way. Be different, be loving, be pure, be wise. I'll pray. Dear God, we thank you so much again for Jesus, and we thank you that he died for us and he was raised again. And we thank you that in him we have life. Father, we thank you that we have been brought from death to life because of him and not because of us. Please help us to trust in him, and please help us to change. Please make us more like your son Jesus. Please help us to bear the family likeness. Help us at school, help us at home, help us with friends, help us at sport, help us in all the places that we will be to be different from the world, to stand out as Christians, as those who have been changed by the good news of Jesus. And it's in his name we pray. Amen.